Gracious, loving Father, what a beautiful day you have given to us today. We just know, as your word tells us, that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice, Lord, and be glad in it. It's a great joy for us to be with one another, to be able to share together, and to sing together, to pray together, to learn together. And as we learn further from Titus, we pray that you will, by your Spirit, apply these things to our hearts, that our lives will reflect the gospel. And now, gracious God, we do want to pray for Anderson this morning as he will be preaching up at Kitwe. As we here at Christchurch seek to plant that little work up there, to create a base for training pastors and leaders right across Central Africa, Lord. Oh, we pray that you will bless him for Rod as he will be preaching this morning in Japanese, for Richard in India. Pray for Jinx in Mozambique, for Sandy as she moves to a new Bible college soon, that you will be with her as she teaches your word. We continue to pray for Mel and for Liana, and we uphold Pam as well before you, and we ask, Lord God, that you will wonderfully use Greg and Vonnie as they adapt to their missionary work, and as she gets ready for the birth of the second one, that you'll keep her strong, and we commit all these, our missionaries, into your loving care. Continue to use them greatly for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, friends, today is Father's Day, and what better would a father want than a good book? So I hope you're all taking him for lunch today. I'm looking forward to going for lunch today. I'm going to hopefully have a smash-up roast. I hope Mary will be paying. So that'll be nice. But what a good book. Now, folks, we've got our book table there, and there are two things you will find in the foyer. The one thing is you'll find our library, and we're building on that library. There's some wonderful books going into that library. So go and browse through that. And also, if you want to buy a good book, he has a great book for all dads called The Roots of Endurance. Short biographies on John Newton, Charles Simeon, and William Wilberforce. It's a five-star book, this. It's wonderful, written by John Piper. And it's going for only 80 rand, so that's worth three McDonald's. So, I mean, that's much better. So there we are, if you want to have a good book. I so enjoyed reading another biography on C.S. Lewis during the week. It really was very easy reading and very, very refreshing. And many of you know C.S. Lewis, one of the great intellectual giants of the Christian church of the last century or so. He wrote Mere Christianity and Screwtape Letters and lots of wonderful, wonderful books. But he was a great academic. He lived in the university at Oxford, and that was his life. But he didn't really look after himself too much, I'm afraid to say. But he managed to get some money together, and with his brother Warnie, they bought a house, which they called the Kilns, near Oxford. But being a bachelor, he didn't look after it. So there were holes in the roof, and the carpets were never replaced. It wasn't properly cleaned. He was a very absent-minded professor. And then it happened. When he turned 60, he fell in love. It was amazing. His life just fell apart. And he found it wonderful. It was so nice reading it. Yeah, George, it was wonderful. She was a Jewish lady that had been converted through reading his books. And she wrote to him for help. And that sparked it off. And anyway, they got married, and Joy moved in to the home. And they had the most amazing 4 years together. They were hoping for many more, but she got cancer and died. But what was wonderful to read was when Joy comes into the home as an older lady. She not only brought great joy to C.S. Lewis and they used to share wonderful things from his writings. But she then got to work on the house and fixed the leaks and replaced the carpet so that people couldn't believe that it was still C.S. Lewis's house. And then she says, and when I finished the house, she got into his cupboard. And he had jerseys in the cupboard where there were just holes here. You know, he'd been 60 years as a professor. He hadn't looked at his socks, had holes in. And she's just chucked it all out. But she totally revolutionized the life of C.S. Lewis. Now, I had a nice quote I was going to bring to you this morning, and I left it at home. But never mind, we'll read it next Sunday. But what a joy she brought to C.S. Lewis. His autobiography, some of you may have read it, it's called Surprised by Joy. I'm sure it'll be in the library. If not, don't have a look, we can get it there. Or Shadowlands, the movie that was on the circuit. Now, in a sense, friends, that's what I want to share with you this morning. I'm going to give you a picture, and I feel inadequate giving this to you, but I hope it's helpful. Remember the background for a minute as we come into chapter 2, is that Paul has sent Titus to Crete. Crete's churches were battling, they were having many little difficulties, and Titus, as a stronger man and a very godly man, but a gifted teacher, was invited to go there. And in chapter 1, he clearly showed us who you choose to be elders in the church. And then he went on to show us how to be careful of false teachers. But in chapter 2, he is giving us brief little cameos, brief descriptions on how each person should live in the church. And it's been fascinating, hasn't it? So Paul says, for example, you must teach the older men. Remember we did that two Sundays ago. And for those brothers here this morning who are older, the six characteristics that you are going to aim for are to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, love, and in endurance. What the apostle is saying here is, you're a Christian, don't get your directions from the world. We don't want to be like that. We want to be older men under the Bible, living a lifestyle consistent with the gospel. Then, the following week, we did the younger men. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. And we apply that into every area of life. The one outstanding characteristic of a Christian young man is that he's self-controlled. This morning, we are going to cover what joy did to C.S. Lewis. The characteristics of an older woman. What do we look for in their lives? And then next Sunday, if you're still alive, we'll do the younger women, those who are still married. But today, what do we want to encourage in the lifestyles of our older women? That's going up on the screen, and you will notice there, friends, that there are four characteristics. Six for the old men, one for the young men, four for the older women. So if you come into that little category this morning, this is what I'd like you to think through. All right, look at verse 3 with me now. Likewise, teach the older woman. So what was Titus's responsibility? He must come with the word of God and lovingly and graciously teach the older woman. That was his great privilege. Teach them, explain to them, this is what is required. And here's number one. You must teach them to be reverent. Reverent in the way that they live. So my older sisters in Jesus this morning for you here today, when you go home and you're having lunch with Dad, the first thing that you will chat about, am I reverent? When people visit your home, when they chat to you, when they see you at work, at play, at home, in conversation, whatever you're doing, is this an attribute that will come out of your life? Teach them to be reverent. That's number one. What does that mean? Well, Gene Getz in his commentary says, to be reverent in the way that they live actually means that they were to live a life that is consistent with the fact that they claim to be followers of God. Reverent. So when people watch you and see you, they will see that your life has got that lovely characteristic. Your life is marked with the gospel. You're a follower of God. William Hendrickson put it more briefly when he said, you live as if a servant of God's temple. So you're a servant of God. Or John Benton, in the other one, and I'd just like to share them all with you, and his very good commentary says, and so the Christian woman is called away from the slovenly and the decadent ways of the world, where there is no one to please but yourself. She rather is to live as one who has spiritual access to the living and the true God, as befits one who is able to advise others how to find him in Christ. So for us here at Christchurch, for our older ladies, friends, pray for that. Strive for that. Pray for that. Long for that. To be reverent in the way that you live, to live a life that is glorifying to the gospel. What's number two? Likewise, see verse 3, teach the older men to be reverent in the way they live and not to be slanderous. Here's the second thing. Now, we're all Dean James in our home Bible studies, and he's been very strong on that. James dealt with this problem extensively in his letter to those New Testament believers, pointing out very graphically that the Christian's tongue serves as a precise measurement of Christian maturity. Want to know if someone's mature in Christ? James tells us, look at the way their tongue is under control. If we can control our tongue, we usually can control every other part of our personality. Your tongue betrays you. Now, sadly, this is a weakness in every single person, whether they are men or women. But in this passage, Paul, under the inspiration of God, specifically zeroes in as a problem for some older woman. Because sometimes they gossip and they slander and they skinner. I wondered if I should put on a crash helmet when I said that. God, that's why I put these guys behind me as my bodyguards. But you see, friends, does that ever happen? Yes, it does. And we must remember here that malicious gossip is destructive. It tears people down. It ruins characters. And it never ever builds up people in their walk with Jesus. It's the most serious, serious sin. Now that's wonderful. When we have our collection just now, that person will give an extra 200 for missions. That's terrific. So keep your cell phones on. we love missions. All right, but let's come back to this. You see what it's saying is be very careful of your tongue. Don't ever gossip. Don't ever slander. Don't ever maliciously tear people down. Now, there are people who are very good at that. Don't let that be a mark in your life. Pray for the gospel to so transform your life that when you speak, as Proverbs tells us, it's like apples of gold in settings of silver. Teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live. Teach them not to slander. Then number three, teach them not to be addicted to much wine. Now, I'm not too sure. I hope that's not a problem here at Christchurch. I haven't seen it out to be true, is it? But as we all know, persistent drinking and drunkenness, horribly and sadly, were common problems in the first century world. Many people, sometimes converted to Christ, developed a kind of lifestyle that was practiced out there in the world. And from what we can gather, there were those who would use wine as a means of coping with anxiety and stress that could have been caused by all sorts of things. So what is the Apostle Paul saying? He's saying, you're a Christian. You're not like the people out there in the world. You're different. Your life is under the gospel. Your life is being transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're under stress, when you're under strain, it's the gospel that puts us at ease. It's the gospel that gives us joy. It's the gospel who gives us peace. We are not in any way addicted to these things to pull us through. Break away from old, hurtful habits. That's what Paul is saying. Break away from them. I'm sure perhaps none of you here would be addicted to wine. But if there are some habits that's held you back and restricted you in your love for Christ, then what Paul is saying is, get rid of that. So Titus, come alongside the older sisters in the church. Teach them to be reverent, not to slander, not to be addicted to much wine. And then he says at the end of verse 3, but, isn't this a lovely thing, friends? And I hope I can try and bring this home clearly to you. But to teach what is good, then they can train the younger woman. And that's what we'll see next Sunday. So here is a beautiful picture that is so much needed today. As a young lady, she gets married, she has kids, there's stresses and strains in bringing up children. She's coping with a husband who's trying to make his way in his career. There are pressures on home, there are pressures from finances, there are pressures from the kids. Where does she go? In the church situation, she goes to the older woman in the church. Why? Because she looks and she sees they are reverent. She sees their tongues are under control. She sees they are not addicted to the things of the world. She comes and she teaches the Word of God. She teaches what is good. What is Titus to do to the young woman? Titus, nothing. He must teach the old men, teach the old woman, encourage the young men. But who looks after the younger woman? The older ones. See the picture? So here's an overall godly lifestyle forming the basis for effective verbal teaching. The life lived in accordance with sound doctrine would now enable these women to effectively communicate with young women how to walk in the will of God and how to grow in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you can teach and then you can train. And to our older ladies here this morning, we want to say how much we appreciate that. And we long to see that. And we long to encourage you and to teach you in that wonderful way so that your ministry can be very, very effective. So you'll come across young married girls battling today and we can say, there's the model. There's a great teacher of the Bible. Go and listen to her. Let her coach you. Let her teach you. Let her explain to you from the Bible. If I may ask a bit of a negative, does this happen? Eh? What do you think? Does this happen today around the world? I see lots of shaking of the heads. You see, it's a very sad thing, isn't it? It doesn't happen. And that's why it's been such a challenge to us on Sunday mornings to work through Titus. So what I want to say to you, dear friends, those older ladies again, let's pray for you and encourage you and help you. Don't be governed by the world. Don't look to the world for guidance. You're a gospel woman. Live a life where people see you reverent. Live a life where your tongue is controlled. And live a life where you're not addicted to what the world gets addicted to. And because of the way you live, and because of your love for Christ and your love for the Bible, you come across the younger woman and you teach them and you model it for them. Now what will be the end result? Look at the end of verse 5. So that no one will malign the word of God. Isn't that a lovely phrase? You see, no one will now be able to say, hey, I thought you were a Christian. Thought you go to church, but look how you're speaking. Or look how you, what you're doing. We don't want that. The word of God will not be maligned because of the way you've lived and the way that you have taught. Well, there's the profile then that Titus gives us for the older woman. What I'm going to do with you next Sunday is the younger woman. But secondly, what are the lessons for today? And I just want to share four with you, if I may, and then we'll be on our way. So what's the first thing by way of practical application? The first thing that we see here, dear friends, as we've now been through the three groups, is the need for gospel lifestyles. That's what the Bible is so strong. Gospel lifestyles. So John Benton summarized it in his words. He said, it is not the world which should dictate Christian lifestyle. But it's the gospel. You see, friends, how do you spend your money? What determines that? It's the gospel. Where are your priorities? It's the gospel. Where do you spend your time? It's the gospel. How do you bring up your children? It's the gospel. How do you treat one another? It's the gospel. Every area of one's life comes under the umbrella of a Christian gospel lifestyle. And think of what joy did to C.S. Lewis. Turned his life inside out and upside down. It was the most devastating thing when they'd been married for, I think it was 4 months, when she was told she had cancer. 4 months. And his life has just had this amazing revolution of love. They planned these lovely holidays together while there was time. His life was on a totally different plane. This great C.S. Lewis, because a woman came into his life that was governed by the gospel. It was a lovely thing to read. So we want to encourage you, gospel lifestyles. Number two, it's also a reminder that since the 1950s, you can look back to those times, listen, since the 1950s, there's been a revolution which has taken place across the world, and it says this, youth dominates. Titus is different. Titus is telling us so wonderfully that older people are people who are to be prized. Isn't that a lovely thing to read? They are to be prized. Why? He has a young mom, he has a young lady developing in life and so on. Where do I look to? I've seen her church. I want to go to her. She's a model. She'll teach me. We need models. The youth have got all the drive and the enthusiasm, but the experience and the wisdom comes from godliness over many years. So Titus is putting this lovely balance for us together. What's the third lesson that we are learning Sunday by Sunday? Is really, we would encourage our sisters in Christ to be women of no compromise. No compromise. Remember Elliot Gould? Who remembers Elliot Gould? Remember Elliot Gould? What did he do, Linda? Yeah, he married Barbara Streisand for 8 years and then he had had enough. And he says this, it's difficult to be married to someone who was married to her success. Remember that famous statement? We are saying to all our ladies, be married to the gospel. And your greatest joy in life is to grow in Jesus Christ, to so model the life and to so teach your younger woman in the church and elsewhere. Don't compromise on that. We need you very, very, very much indeed. And number four, self-denial. As Titus so beautifully brings out there, so that no one will malign the word of God. That's very important. We want to live, we want to speak, we want to act, we want to do all that we do in life so that no one will ever, ever come up to us and say, I thought you were a Christian. And look how you act. Look how you go about things. We don't want that. And therefore there's self-denial. Someone very, very kindly gave me a book called The Letters of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The letters that he wrote while he was in prison, and I just started it yesterday. Yeah, I could only read one or two pages, I must confess, because they are so incredibly deep and moving. And he writes to his mom and dad. He's been imprisoned by Hitler and so on. And there's no way she's going to get out. And he keeps on assuring them, don't worry about me. Don't worry. It's fine where I am. I've got my Bible and it's going to be okay. Very moving as he denies himself all the things of the world in order to stand for what he really believed was right. And I think in a world where the picture of a successful woman is not always a biblical one, we here at your church want to say to you, be a Christian. Be reverent. Don't slander. Don't be addicted to the things of the world. Be an example for younger women and teach them. Train them that they may follow in your example. Is that all right? Sure, man. You're still looking at me, so it wasn't too bad. But don't worry, next Sunday is the younger woman who got married and so on, and we'll come and have a look at that. And then we've covered everybody, then I'm off to Zambia. Okay, let's pray. Let's have a little prayer together. Just for a few moments, it's so good to do that. Just to pause before we rush home and rush to do all that we're going to do today on Father's Day and worry about all the other things. Let's just examine our lives. Let's ask all our older men, are you temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, love, and endurance? Our younger brothers, is your life self-controlled? And for our older ladies this morning, are you reverent? Never slandering, not addicted, and teaching and training younger ones. How's it going? Are we doing this? Father, this morning we are so grateful for the Bible that offers us a totally different way of life to what is happening out there in the world. And we pray especially today for our older moms and sisters in Christ, that they, at this time in their lives, would be known for reverence, using their tongues only when it would build up and encourage other people, having no addiction, and training and teaching younger women how to live and what to believe. Oh, I pray that for each of our dear older sisters here this morning. Forgive us all where we fail, but help us never to be content with that. Always to move on to live how you want us to live. And we're going to ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.